You have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to Revelation chapter 6. We're going to continue our study of Revelation. Revelation 6, 1. Let's pay an honor of reading God's Word. And the Word says, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice like thunder, 'Come see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse, who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you this morning, Lord God. And God, the first thing, I come against the devil in the name of Jesus by the blood of the Lamb, Lord God. And Father, I know that he has tried everything that he could do to me this week, Lord God, to try to stop me in my tracks, Lord God, and from preaching what you have today, Lord. So, Father, we just give it to you. We praise you. We honor you, Lord God. I pray, Lord, if there's one in here, God, that doesn't know you this morning, God, that they would find their way to you, Lord God, that your word would penetrate their heart, Lord God. And I pray that we could be doers of your word and not only hearers, Lord God. And, Father, I just praise you this morning. I thank you again for the opportunity to stand in this pulpit, Lord God. And Father, I stand here for you to use me as a mouthpiece of your word, Lord God, and for you to get all the glory, Lord. And we give you the praise, we give you the honor, we give you the glory. In your precious holy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I've been to the emergency room this week and spent about 9-10 hours. Yesterday morning, John and I were going to go out to the garden, and I walked outside, and I turned the corner of the garage, and a wolf popped me right there. I went in the house and put some stuff on it and sat down a minute, went back outside, and they hit me in my ear, and I got stung there. I said, "Lord, what is something trying to tackle me, keep me from going to church tomorrow?" But praise God, we're here. Amen. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 starts the Great Tribulation, and the Great Tribulation is 7 years of pain and agony and death and just about anything that there's not a movie been produced in Hollywood that can even come close to the violence and the death and the disease and everything that goes on as these seals are opened up. And one thing I want you to remember that we, the Christian, are the church is raptured out of here, and this is written about the ones that are left behind. And again, I want you to pay attention to the first verse, and remember, John is getting all this on the island of Patmos, and the word says, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.'" I want to make it very plain. If you, in every instance in the book of Revelation where John is getting this, the angels tell him, "Come and see." I want you, and the reason for that, I say a lot of people leave Revelations out. They don't mess with Revelations anymore. They don't want to mess with Genesis because it's too complicated for them. But pay close attention. Everything in this book, God wants us to know. And as I said a couple weeks ago when we started out, or months ago, God wants us to hear every word in it. It's nothing in here that we can't understand. And he wants you to know what's going to happen in the end. This is God's book of life. And just like every book that you read, it's got an ending in it. And the end is the end. And so in Revelation chapter 6, it's beginning the great tribulation. And the word again says, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a loud voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." As I said a couple weeks ago when we started in the book of Revelation, there are 26 angels in the book of Revelation, and these angels are the ones that they're before the throne of God. Remember, the church, we're all before the throne of God. The church is there worshiping God, and God himself and the Son gives order to the angel to go and do it. So God is instructing these angels to go to the earth, and the word says there to go to and fro. And this white horse, you hear there's all kind of symbols and things in the Bible. This white horse is not to be confused with the white horse in Revelation 19. This white horse is Antichrist. This is the one that tries to fool and tries to deceive and to destroy the nation. Don't confuse it with the Antichrist. I think it's in Revelation 19:11. It talks about the other white horse. I want to look at some scripture in Zechariah just to follow through on the prophecy, saying that the prophecy of the Bible is not something that somebody just came up with, even in Zechariah's time. In the book of Zechariah, in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 8, it says, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding on a red horse, and it stood among the myrtle trees and the hollows, and behind him were horses, red, salt, and white. Then I said, my Lord, what are these? So the angels who talked with me said to me, I will show you what they are. And the man who stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are the ones who the Lord has sent to walk to and fro through the earth. So they answered the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro throughout the earth, and behold, all the earth is resting quietly. So he prophesied, and we're going to talk about today, the red horse, the white horse, and what these horses were doing, or what they symbol. The angels are going to, again, as it said in the last part of verse 2, it said, he who sat on it had a bow and a crown, was given to him, and he went out conquering to conquer. And these angels are going to carry out the punishment to mankind that is coming because these people did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. They're the ones that are left behind. And so the word says in verse 3, when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Again, every time that God reveals something to these angels in the book of Revelation, you go complete, he tells John, come and see. Come and see what's going on. And so this horse, it says, when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature come and see. And a horse, fiery red, went out. Remember the red horse we just read about, Zechariah? The red horse, it says, another horse, fiery red, went out, and in it was granted to one who sat on it to take place from the earth and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. I want to ask you something this morning. I was reading that this week one time, and I was thinking, Revelations, you say, is confusing. And it is, in a way, confusing. I said, in the scripture that I just read says that this is Antichrist. Antichrist is delivering all the punishment to the people, the angels. And it says here that in this case, the fiery red horse is granted to give that the people should kill one another. And think about how bad the world is today. Think about the killing and the violence and the things that's going on today. It's nothing compared to what is going to be going on in tribulation. And it says, the Bible says, and I want to assure you again, I think about a scripture this morning in Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, just to assure you that if you're a child of the King, you don't have to worry about this. It says, for God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he didn't appoint any of us to go through what these people are going to go through in the tribulation period. He didn't appoint us for that. But if you say no to God's Son, Jesus Christ, you will be a part of that. And this second seal, when it is open, theologians say, they have figured out the population of the United States, I mean of the world, and one that he is one of the greatest. He's been dead 25 years, J. Vernon McGee. He claims that when this verse, when this seal is open, that 2.5 billion people will be killed in the world. Think about that. 2.5 billion people will be killed. There's a lot of people being killed today from disease and famines and all the things that's going on. But rest assured, we are not in the tribulation period, because God's church is going to be taken out. And as I said, God's church is not mentioned again to Revelation 21. That's when we show up again. We're with God. We're watching this all take place. And I want to be up there watching instead of down here waiting on what's going to happen there. Because these things are going to take place, and billions of people are going to be killed. Matthew 24:21, I've read that 1,000 times, but I'm going to read it again. I want you to make note. I want to assure you, if you are a Christian this morning, that you don't have to worry about none of this. Matthew 24:21 talks about what we're talking about today, the tribulation period. It says, "For then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be again." There is going to be a period and a time where when these seals are open, every time one is open, it gets a little worse and a little worse and a little worse. And so this is going to happen. And again, verse 3 says, "When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, 'Come and see.'" Make sure that you come and see. Remember in verse 1, he said it in a loud voice that's like thunder. He wants us to hear. Church, he wants you to hear this morning that he is coming to rescue us from this earth. But if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you wait around, if you hang around, if you play church, if you drag your feet, one day the rapture of the church is going to take place. Ruth's song that she just sang just then said that, I don't know if I say it exactly like you said it, but in a blink of an eye, it's going to happen. And it's going to be over with. And then this is going to take place. And if you don't know Jesus Christ yet, you're going to be in it. Is there a way for you to come out of it? Yeah, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ loves everybody to the very end. But think how bad it is today. It's bad enough, and it's hard enough for us to come to the realization of everything that's happening now. Look around you. Look around you. If we were a ball game going on this morning, even a little league game going on, there'd be far more people than sitting in the church. People don't pay any attention. And if you don't pay attention, if you don't pay attention to God's Word, and you don't realize what it says, and you don't realize what God said, that there has never been nor never will be a time on the face of the earth or in mankind than the tribulation period. Do you want to be a part of that? I don't. You know, we let coronavirus get us all souped up and worried and tired and all this stuff. It's bad. But it's not bad as what's coming. There's a whole lot worse coming. I'm telling you, it's bad. Those poor children getting killed in that school in Uvalde, that's a terrible thing. It's terrible. That's bad. But it's not bad as what's going to happen. Hurricanes are bad. Tornadoes are bad. But that's not nothing compared to what's going to happen, because God tells us, and in his word here, he has given us a way out to accept his Son, Jesus Christ. He said, This is not going to happen if the wrath is not intended for you. The wrath of God is intended for the devil and his host of angels, for the Antichrist. And it's not meant for us. But if we wait around and drag our feet and don't go to church and don't accept Jesus Christ and don't do the things that he... If we sit around and say, well, they've been talking about that for 1,000 years. All my life I've heard that. Just keep on thinking that. If you don't accept it, one day it's going to happen and it's going to be too late. And then, even then, they're going to be trying to tell us, I don't want to put us on there because I ain't going to be here. They're going to be telling the people that are left behind, hey, it's just some kind of phenomenon that happened. It's not really real, and they're going to have every egghead analysis guy on television, just like they do in politics, just like they had in the school shooting up here. Every time they have something, they have everybody. And they're going to be praying. They're going to be praying. They pray every time something happens. They pray, you know. Funny thing, they pray once. How many, you know, when it's funny, up until this Uvalde deal happened, they were talking about abortion and how terrible that is. And then they jump on the Uvalde shooting deal and they start talking about it. Have you ever put that together? They are talking about taking away guns from people that are law-abiding citizens to keep from killing babies, and right before that they were voting to kill babies. Yep. They ain't no common sense. And God is telling us there's not going to be any common sense. The time of tribulation is going to be horrible. And he wants us to know that. And the next seal, it says, the third seal. In verse 5, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, come and see. Listen. So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quarter of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil or the wine. What is he talking about there? That's kind of confusing the prices of things, how things are going to be so high. And God is telling this angel to destroy, to take away food and supplies on this earth. But you notice what he does not, he tells them? It's funny. It's not funny, but it's real. He says, take all this stuff and do not harm the oil or the wine. You think about that? That will come on as we go through Revelation. But the oil, God knows that, you know, that he's going to keep, the world is going to be tore apart. But there is going to be a war at the end of this, the Battle of Armageddon, and there is going to be a war. And in order to have that war, they're going to use these jet airplanes and tanks, and they're going to need oil. But the oil is kind of what's holding the commerce or the world together, the money situation. They're going to have that here, but there's going to be a war. And we'll talk about that later on. I studied some on it this week. Do you realize that when they have that war, that last war where Jesus Christ comes in on the white horse to establish his throne, that there's going to be blood as high as the bridles on a horse? And they say that's 4 foot deep. And they say, the theologians say that the blood will be 4 foot deep and 2 miles wide for 281 miles. And I have stood there on that battleground with my brother and I when I was in Israel with him, and it makes the hair stand up on you because you can see that far. You can see as far as you want to see. It's just a flat field of a desert. And that's where all these armies of the world are going to meet, and they're going to have this big battle. But God tells them, don't harm the oil. But he said, I heard in the midst of the living creatures saying, a quarter or a quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil. He is going to bring destruction and chaos to this world that they are going to be living in. We're going to be before the throne of God. Remember, isn't it going to be wonderful to be? We will be before the throne of God. Everything, all of our pain, all of our suffering, all the heartache, all the death is over with for us. And we're going to be sitting there praising God with all the angels in heaven, and we're going to be watching these 26 angels. And to speak of that, like I said before, but 18 of these 26 angels are men. And they are going to be taking on what God tells them to do. And the reason that he says, I'm going to keep on saying this, you may get tired of it, maybe the funniest going through Revelation you ever had, but he said, he tells every time, he says, come and see. And God keeps on putting that when I read it, come and see. Come to God's word and open God's word and read what it says and see what it means. He wanted John, you make sure and go back to my churches and you tell them this is what's going to happen. Come and see. Open up this book and read. Know what it says. Read it. Do what it says. Lord, just give me this one. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5. It says, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. That's what's going on right now in the world that we live in today. Why everybody is ganging up on the deal going on in the Ukraine, and every country of the world is coming together. What are they coming together for? Peace. And God says that when they start talking about peace, that is when things are going to get real rough. What's happening? They're talking about peace, and it seems like the world is falling apart around us. And I know there's a lot of people that are hurting, that are letting all this get them upset. God said, come and see. Don't worry about what is going on, because I have got you. I read a scripture this morning, I wrote when I done my text. I know it was in Isaiah. Let me see if I can find it. I knew I was going to use it. I should have marked it. I'm going to find it. We got a few minutes. Isaiah. Where you at out here, y'all? Let's see. Isaiah 40, I believe it was. I know I underlined it. I know I've done that much. Yeah. Listen to Isaiah. He says, come and see. Look and listen to what I say. Don't worry about this world, because this world is not our home. We keep on worrying about this world. All we got to do is survive and get through this world. And the only way to survive and get through this world is with the Lord, the blood of the cross and the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 40:10 says, he's talking to the people, fear not, for I am with you. Fear not. If you are a Christian, and my wife sometimes, I'm not saying she's not a Christian, I know she's a Christian, sometimes something would happen, I say, okay, hang on, we're fixing to go, I ain't worried about it. Let's go get after him. When they, you know, I'm concerned about when they blew the 10 towers up, the twin towers up in New York City, but I'm not going to let it run me crazy, because I know who, God said, fear not, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Don't worry about this mess. Don't let school shootings and all the things that's going on in this crooked, no good world that we live in, the shortages, the gas prices. He said, don't worry about it. Don't be dismayed. It's going to happen. I am your God. And if I am right, God created everything in this world. God keeps this world spinning. God keeps the grass growing. the leaves falling and shedding and coming back in the spring. God created every one of us and everything here, and he said, don't worry, I got you. I will strengthen you. What's he say? When these things happen, when coronavirus happens, when things happen in this world that are bad, that are horrible, that don't be dismayed. Don't worry about it. Pray to me. I will give you strength to get through it. If the gas gets shorted or gas goes to $10 a gallon, don't worry about it, because I will take care of you. And people, if you will listen to God and you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he means exactly what he said. Man will tell you everything in the world to try to sway you to vote for him or to sway you to like him. The Lord Jesus Christ don't need us anyway. He loves us. And he said, don't be dismayed. I will give you strength if you'll just ask me for strength. Just ask me and I'll give it to you. He said, yes, I will help you. I will help you. The great I am, Jesus Christ, the Lord, the King, he will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God said, I will uphold you. All these things are going to happen in Revelations and the tribulation period. All these things are going to happen, but you listen to me, God said. I have got you. There's going to be a red horse, a white horse, a black horse. There's going to be all kind of terrible things. And this is just the beginning. This is just the very, very beginning of it. In verse 7, he said, when he opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. Come again. Come and look. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of the one who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. In other words, you know what God is saying? I keep remembering as I go through this. This is, to me, is a perfect example. I keep on remembering when Daddy come over that hill and man Reagan had mowed that grass. God is telling you right now today in Oakhurst, Texas, to listen to his word. Don't listen to me or how much I may butcher it up. Listen to him. He said, if you listen to me, you don't have to go through this. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to give you, you're going to overcome it. Not, you're not, but you're going to overcome it by the blood of Jesus Christ the Lamb. But if you don't, this is what's going to happen to you. You know, that's what he, you know, the teacher tell you in school, hey, you need to be quiet and you need to sit down. And if you don't, I'm going to send you to the office right back in my time. They just butt you right in front of the class, like we talked about. They don't do that no more. But if you don't be quiet, you're going to get in trouble. God is saying, people, if you don't listen to my word and get off of all that junk that's out here in this world, then this is what's going to happen to you. If you're a saved Christian, it don't really make any difference because you're going to be with God. He said, and the ninth, in verse 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. In Revelation, first chapter, we read about those that were, let me go back and read it. These people have been brought out of the tribulation. Let me find it. Where is it at? Let me see if it gives a Revelation 1, 2, 3, 9. That's it. I knew it was. It says, let me find it. All right. It talks about John, who bore witness of the God and testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words. Listen to this. Those who believe and hear the words of this prophecy, John, to the seven churches, grace and peace to him who is and who was and who is to come, and to the seven spirits before the throne, and Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, firstborn, the dead of the rulers of the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us away our sins by his blood. I'm still not getting where I want to be. Where is it where these people come? Somebody help me. Lord's telling me. No. I'll skip it. I'm not going to skip it. Anyway, these people, there's 144,000 taken out of the rapture. These 144,000 people represent the tribes of Judah. These people are brought up again here in chapter 9 of Revelation chapter 6. He says, and he opened the fifth seal, and I saw under the altar the souls of those who were slain for the word of God. These are the ones that have came out of the tribulation period that stood up for God. They're brought to heaven. And these people are with us. These people are under the altar, and these people are with us looking at all these things that are unfolding. And look at what they say. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you judge and revenge our blood on those who dwell on earth? He's saying, they have been through it. They have been murdered. They have been killed in the great tribulation. They are with us before the throne of God, and they're saying to God, they're begging God, God, how much longer is it going to be before this is all over? Before heaven and all the good, when is it going to be over, God? And God tells them, just a little bit longer. We read this here, he says, and they cried with a loud voice, how long, O holy and true, until you judge and revenge our blood on those who dwell on earth? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was complete. But God tells the people, y'all are here. They're begging, Lord, how long will it be? How much more of this are we going? How much more are you going to do to the people on the face of the earth? And God says, hang on. I'm going to give you these white robes representing that they are children of God. They got their white robe just like we got when we went up there. And he said, hold on a little while longer. What does he say there? I mentioned a while ago that there was going to be people that came out of the great tribulation. What does he say? These people, he said, and let me read verse 11 again. Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the numbers of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was complete. And there's a reference to that in Hebrews 11:40. These people, he's saying, y'all hold on. Y'all want it to end, but hey, there's a few more people down there that are going to be saved, and you wait till everybody that's saved that can be saved, that are willing to suffer and sacrifice and give their life to me, you wait, and when that's over, then we'll all be free. We'll have the Lord's Supper. The wedding will be on. The feast will be on. The joy and the peace forever and ever. No more death, no more killing, no more sorrow, no more pain. It'll all be over. But he's telling them, y'all hold on a little while longer. And I can say the same thing to us this morning. God says the same thing to us. Hold on to your salvation a little bit longer. Just hang in there. Things are going to get worse. I'm telling you. There's not a president, a man on this earth that is going to save anybody or make it better or bring peace or stop wars and the rumors of wars, the famines, the pestilence, all these things. It's not going to happen. God is going to send his son, and his son is going to get us the church, and then all hell is going to break out on this earth. That's what's going to happen. That's the truth of it. I didn't say that. Read this Bible. It tells you that. Chapter 12, the sixth seal.
Chapter 7 has the...
Where he brought the 100... And, okay. Revelation 7. Let me go back and read that record. No, it's the head of the sin. Okay.
Well, all right.
No, that's the tribe of Judah. That's all right. Verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar... Wait a minute. Whoop. Verse 12. I looked. When he opened the sixth seal... And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became a sackcloth and sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. You notice something here? And ever seal that's been opened, he said, come up here and look. This time, John says, I looked when he opened the sixth seal. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black, a sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of the heavens fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by the mighty wind. These old fig trees are blooming now, they're loaded. And just like the heavens are loaded with stars, that's the reason God used it. And you watch in a couple months when we've got all the figs that we want or give them away or let the birds eat them when the wind blows, more figs will start dropping. God said, the stars of heaven fell to earth as the fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Why do you think, you know, people say, and I've told y'all a million times, they get these people to try to figure out what all this means. And God says every time, he says, it's going to be like a fig tree. Other words, all the stars are not going to fall at once. Boom! They're going to fall like figs, one or two at a time, three or four at a time. They're going to fall. The moon is going to turn to blood. And I mean, this may be far-fetched, or it may be hard for you to listen to, but you don't have to worry about it. God wants you to hear it. He wants us to look because we will know. Do you want to see this? I want to see it from the other side. I don't want to be sitting here when the stars start falling. Lord, have mercy, and the moon turns red. They're going to be saying the blood moon is out of season or something. They're going to be trying to figure out everything they can figure to keep those that are on earth from coming on to Jesus. That's what they're going to do. And it goes on to say, the stars of heaven fell to earth, the figs dropped as late figs, the mighty wind blew. Then the sky receded as a scroll. When it is rolled up, and every mountain and every island was moved out of place. God, you know, we think that a hurricane or earthquake or something messed up this world that we live in. God's going to roll back the sky and the moon and stars are going to start falling. And not only that, Hawaii and all the islands in Hawaii, they're going to be moved around. Galveston's an island, it's going to be moved around. What are the weathermen going to say then? What are people on this earth? Do you want to sit here and wait for that? Or do you want to go be with the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, it's a simple thing. All this stuff is going to happen. The mountains and the Rocky Mountains, the Smoky Mountains, all the vast mountains, the Alps, the Swiss Alps, all of those, they're going to be moving around like dominoes. Then what are they going to say? Right here, then he says what they say. Look here in verse 13. This is one of my favorite, my most favorite verse in the book of Revelation. It's not the whole Bible. To me, this said, okay, buddy, I told you and I told you and I told you. Now then, big boy. And the kings of the earth and the great men, all those great men, those philosophers, those scientists, those doctors, those people that they know everything. They done got so smart, they're smarter than God. The great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, those commanders, the military, those great men, those mighty men, those guys that that sat up there in Washington, D.C., those people that sat in Washington, D.C. and their liquor bill $500,000 a year. Those mighty people, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about those mighty men, those Putins and all them. They think they're mighty. They own the world. They can tell us what to do, and we do it. They can take our oil. They can take our groceries. They can do what they want to do. God says, you just hang on, and look at what they're doing. The moon turned red. The stars start falling like figs. The mountains and the seas are moved around where God wants to put them. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. Do you realize that God does not leave one soul out here? There is no one on the earth that is protected from this day. He said, the kings, the rulers of the earth, the great men, all those movie stars, all them people up there, the rich men, those that got more money than what you and I could ever imagine, all those those that were slaves, those are people that are just on the street that didn't know the Lord, those that are working for these rich people, every free man, if there's anybody here that's free in that time, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. Verse 16 says, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Finally, it may be one of you sitting here this morning that's too hard-headed, that does not want to give the Lord Jesus Christ what is due him. And give him your life. You may be sitting right here this morning. But that day is coming. And he said, God said, they're going to be running everywhere. They're going to be hiding. They're going to be. And it, verse 16, and he said to the mountains, to the rocks, fall on us. Fall on us. And they hid their faces from him. They thought they had their faces from him, who sat on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? You know the only ones that will stand? That is the people that have stood through it all, the people that have given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, the people that have said, I am a Christian. I read my Bible. I study my Bible. I pray. I go to church. I try to help everybody that I can. Those are the ones that are going to make it. And yes, there are going to be people, regardless of what a lot of people say, there are going to be people that come out of the Great Tribulation. We just read about 144,000 of them. And we're going to, chapter 7 talks about the tribe. There's going to be people come out of this, but why wait to go through all of that to call on the name of Jesus Christ when right here today it's burning hot outside and we're sitting in air conditioning and we ain't got nothing else to do all day long, and all you got to do is come down here and say, Lord, forgive me. I messed up. That's all I told those people at that funeral the other day. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that whosoever, that he just named it. These people that are running and hiding from the rulers of the earth to the slave. Anybody. Don't make any difference who you are. Don't make any difference how much money you got. Don't make any difference what background you come from. Don't make any difference what you wear today or what you've done last night. Or all it means is that you come to Jesus Christ today and you are saved forever. And when that day comes, when the rapture of the church takes place, when those scrolls roll, the skies roll back, we're going to go be with him. The dead in Christ are going to go be with him. And then hell is going to break. If you think there's hell on this earth now, you ain't saw nothing yet. Hang on. It is just now. We're at the doorstep. I am talking. My daddy said it. My uncle said it. Sister Berger said it. All those that started this church said it. We are on the threshold of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back to this earth. Every time I turn on the TV, how much more can you take, Lord? You know what God just told them people there? Just a little bit longer. Just hang on. A little bit longer, people. Hang on. A day in the eyes of the Lord is 1,000 years. Hang on. That's the reason that you and I, as mamas and daddies and grandpas and grandmas, need to be telling our grandkids and everybody we can about the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be building up a children's ministry here and the youth. We need to get off of our butts and get on fire for God. Hallelujah. That's what we need to do. Hard for me to hear, but we got to do it. We're too comfortable because we're sitting back like in the days of Noah. We're preaching, we're teaching, and people are walking by out there and laughing, and we need to change their laughing into tears before that great day of the Lord comes and they're running and hiding. You know, the Bible says every tongue is going to confess. Every knee is going to bend. Every head is going to bow. Everybody's going to know that Jesus Christ, that's just what they done. They were riding, running and hiding and begging for rocks to fall on them. And what did they say? Because the wrath of the Lord has come. Going to be too late then. Do you know him this morning? Do you understand that what I am trying to say, what the Lord is saying through me is going to happen? It's not a fictional book that somebody's written. This is a book, just like that song book right there. It's got a first song in it and a last song. I'm singing from the last pages. It's going to happen. And God sees fit that we go all the way through this book of Revelation. I'm going to go through it in the best way that I can go through it and try to explain it to you in the best way that I know. But the bottom line is, do you know Jesus this morning? Do you know him? If you know him, don't worry about it. It's going to be all right. I read a scripture, Isaiah 40, just a while ago. He said, I'm your God. You're my people. I'm the righteous God. You believe in me, and don't let this mess worry you. I will give you strength. Let's stand. Sister Ruth comes to the piano. Well, the Christians come down and pray. And if there's anybody that doesn't know Jesus Christ this morning, please come. Father God, we come to you this morning, and I praise you and honor you and I love you. And Lord, we know that these things are going to happen, Lord God, as horrible as they will be. I know they're going to happen. And God, I pray that there's not one person, young or old, in this building this morning, Lord God, is going to try to wait. God, I pray that they accept you now, for today is the day of salvation. I give you the praise, I give you the honor, I give you the glory, Lord God. I pray that Christians are praying right now, Lord God. Father, that one would be saved. God, you told those people, you issued them white robes. You said, just a little while longer. Father, we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.